Good morning. It's Lightning Thursday time here on the Q. The Lightning is, Hendersville Lightning is on the streets, and it's in your mailboxes, and it's time to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. Bill Moss joining us here on the Q from the Hendersonville Lightning. Good morning, Bill. Always a pleasure to see you, sir.
Good morning. It's great to be back in the Lightning radio saddle once
again. Yes, sir. Absolutely. It sure is. We got a lot to talk about this morning.
Bunch.
A lot to talk about this morning.
Chock full.
So let's jump into it. Let's start with your headline here, right here on the front page. Supporters of ERA notch endorsement of proposal.
They do notch an endorsement, Mark, and it's a first. Their first endorsement, at least this round, I'm not sure what happened 20, 25 years ago when it was first sent to the states by Congress. But what we're talking about is the town of Fletcher, actually. On Monday night, the Fletcher Town Council approved unanimously a resolution brought by the ERA Alliance women. In this case, there were four women that brought it. Also, many of them active, such as Nancy Glowacki and Lee Luby, and the League of Women Voters for many, many years here. They brought the resolution to the Fletcher Town Council. They asked the Fletcher Town Council, would they please endorse this resolution, adopt this resolution in favor of adoption by the United States of America of the Equal Rights Amendment. And so they did. And the amendment reads, for those that would be interested, is equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. So that's pretty much it. There was some really moving testimony, some moving remarks by all four women who spoke, Lee Luby, Gail Kemp, and Princess Ferguson, led by Nancy Glowacki, kind of is leading the alliance here. And so off they go. Is it a long shot? Yes. Is it true that North Carolina or some state that adopted the ERA would make it a constitutional amendment that is highly in dispute? Because supposedly there was I think the original legislation that sent the ERA to states had a deadline of June 30th, 1982. There seems to be an argument that there's been other cases, such as the last amendment, I think the 27th Amendment, the one where Congress can't give itself a raise,
right?
In its current term, was first introduced in something like 17. I'm not going to get the exact number, but in the late 1700s. And was finally adopted, I think, in the 1980s or something like that. So look for that. You'll see it as you attend or maybe read coverage as they go on to, I think, even maybe later this morning to Flat Rock Village Council, going to the Hendersonville City Council, trying to get on the county commission, going to Laurel Park, I think, next week. So it's an effort, and we'll see how it goes here in Henderson County.
All right, so help me out with this. You may have touched on this just a moment ago. Equal Rights Amendment, I mean, this is something that was I thought was passed ultimately back in the early 70s. What is it that's different? Why is it coming to light again right now?
Yeah, I think it's been kind of bumping along. There's been two states. I can't tell you why. If they feel like, I don't know that there's any deadline now, maybe because it's been 99 years since women won the right to vote and, 96 years since Alice Paul drafted the ERA language. It was sent to the states by Congress in 1972. And there's just a movement to get, as I said before, one more state. Why now? Why not? I guess they would say.
Sure. Sure. Interesting. Interesting. So you'll keep us posted on that, I'm sure.
We will, yeah. We'll be, as the Lightning is prone to, at all the subsequent meetings where this will also come up.
All right. Let's move on to another headline on the front page of this week's Lightning. Fletcher cool to annexation of Taproot development.
Yeah, also a scoop that people will read only in the Hendersonville Lightning and hendersonvillelightning.com. In that same meeting Monday night, we suddenly got word about something that had been kind of had been moving along sort of back channel, but actually had been talked about, I think, publicly in one previous Fletcher meeting. And that is this idea really from Commissioner Bill Lapsley to through Fletcher town manager Mark Beberdorf and to the Fletcher Town Council is, you know, this taproot development with almost 1,000, with 532 townhomes and 456 houses on that 320-acre former Taproot Dairy Farm sure does look like a city, sure does act like a city. It walks like a duck, talks like a duck, and quacks like a duck. Reckon you, Fletcher, would like to annex that because it will need city services such as police, garbage collection, street maintenance, and so forth. And that came, that landed on the council rostrum with a thud. No interest, doesn't look like it's going to happen. So what appeared to be sort of a potentially coupling a vote by the Henderson County Board of Commissioners with a commitment by the town of Fletcher to annex the 320-acre, 1,000-home taproot development looks like that will probably not happen. So what that says about the prospects for approval, you can connect the dots and see. But I would say Lapsley's not committed either way. He's a skeptical. I'd say he's a skeptical receiver of that request at the moment.
So what are tax dollars ultimately? I guess the benefits of Fletcher annexing that space.
Well, yes, and we have some exact numbers on that. As exact as they can be forecast. Town Manager Beberdorf did an analysis of the cost side of it, you might say.
Yeah.
And came up, just again, back of the envelope, rough guess, and we had done something similar for Henderson County. He comes up at I think 22.5 cents per $100 valuation tax rate of generating. Built, and then, again, keep in mind this would be build out, generating about $608,000 a year in property taxes, but creating cost of $498,000 worth of garbage trucks and other equipment, annual operating costs of $182,000 on the public works garbage street maintenance side, with police cost of $217,000 a year, and buying four new cruisers. Seems like a lot of police just for one neighborhood, but it's a big neighborhood. And, so four new cruisers for $156,000. So, and this is a discussion that people can read in the Lightning we had with Commissioner Lapsley and with Fletcher Mayor Rod Whiteside, is that development like this, big developments tend, it's come up many times before, they tend to cost more in services than they bring in tax revenue. Uh-huh. The standard thing is you put a manufacturing, a Sierra Nevada, GF Linamar, Rawmatic, whatever you want to say, the number of times a sheriff goes out there, the ambulance goes out there, is not very much.
Right.
And it gets in, brings in a lot more tax revenue than it costs in services.
Uh-huh.
Not true with a big residential development.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. Something else that's not in this week's print because it's just hot off the presses, but it is on the Hendersonville Lightning's website, hendersonvillelightning.com. The GE plant has completed in East Flat Rock has completed its sale, but that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot of change, huh?
Yeah, really, it's just important,
and it's
more important than it looked, I think it's fair to say, because it's not going to look very different at all, and in fact may not operate very different at all inside the walls, outside the walls. You won't see a change even in the name. Under a licensing agreement, apparently they're going to continue to make large stadium lights and all commercial, you know, street lights and interstate highway lights and all this many, many good things. You know, they've been in the national news, East Flat Rock plant.
Yeah.
For making, you know, they light Mount Rushmore, for example. They've lit in, they've lighted many stadiums. You know, we've had stories about did the lighting for the stadium that has a Super Bowl this year and so forth. So
yeah.
They'll continue to do that. They'll continue to develop and serve that market with the LED lights that they've, you know, evolved to, 5, 6 or more years ago. But March 29 was the last day that plant operated under GE ownership. It is now owned by this New York-based private equity firm by the very prosaically named American Industrial Partners, appropriately enough. But in interviews with Brittany Brady, who is president of the Henderson County Partnership for Economic Development, and with Henderson County Chamber of Commerce President Bob Wilford, they all say what we hear, and they try to hear the actual facts.
Yeah.
What we hear is no change on the ground, no change within the walls, no significant change, no change in headcount, no change, they've been told, in benefits. So they're going to continue to rock and roll in the commercial lighting and government light, you know, commercial lighting and big industrial sales market.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. All right. We're going to take a break here. You are listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. And when we come back, a new and interesting segment, something Bill likes to call Kids from Here. That's all coming up here on Lightning Thursdays on WTZQ.
In business, relationships matter and trust must be earned. Duraline Imaging wants a chance to earn your trust and your business. Duraline is your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business. Give them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301. Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
Visit Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village and discover the spring collection. Now's the time to update with trousers from Burl, Peter Millar, Ballin, and Bill's khakis in the season's best fabrics and colors. Try the Joseph Lauder private label wrinkle-free shirts with a cotton quarter zip pullover or lightweight sweater. Shirts are available in short and long sleeve models in solids, checks, and plaids. Visit the store soon and discover the spring collection that features style, color, and quality from the world's leading designers. Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village.
The 305 Lounge and Eatery, right next door to historic Mike's on Main, home of Aubrey's Famous Wings and Sauces, Buffalo, Mango Habanero, Teriyaki, Bourbon, Sweet Chili, Wangy Tangy Mild Barbecue, and
Pindo Reaper.
Enjoy wings and the full Mike's on Main menu at the 305. April is Autism Awareness Month, and the 11th annual Blue Bucket campaign raises funds for exceptional children classrooms in our public schools. Help fill the blue buckets for autism at the 305 Lounge and Eatery and Mike's on Main in downtown Hendersonville.
And we are back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Coming up, a new segment called Kids from Here. But before that, let's get back into something, Bill, that we've talked about in past Lightning Thursdays, the sort of the musical chairs that we've had with judges. And one of the last shoes to drop is happening right now with an acting clerk of court for a bit. Tell us about that story.
That's right. Let's
and this go. Is this again is something that's hot off the presses, so it's not in this week's Lightning, but it is on the website right now.
Yeah, the Lightning's been busy after deadline for the print issue, catching up or hearing about some other things, and the news is popping. So some of that goes directly onto the website, HendersonvilleLightning.com. But you'll recall Judge Mark Powell, the Chief Resident Superior Court Judge, announced his retirement late last summer, retired October 1st. Judge Roy Cooper, the governor, appointed Judge Peter Knight, a graduate of Hendersonville High School, as the Chief Resident Superior Court Judge. There was another box that had to be filled when Cooper appointed Judge Athena Brooks to a special Superior Court judgeship, and then made another appointment to that district court seat, and then had to fill Peter Knight's seat. So lots of boxes moving. Filled the Peter Knight seat with Kim Gasperson Justice, who's the clerk of Superior Court, and now Judge Knight, the chief superior, court judge must appoint a new clerk of court. So that's what we talk about. He's appointed temporarily for no more than 30 days, Christina Goodson, he's appointed her acting clerk. She is an assistant clerk in charge of civil cases there in the court. Judge Knight also appointed Sherry Brewer, an attorney here in private practice, to head up a committee sort of to receive applicants for this post, to kind of vet them, interview them, and send him a list of names. So look for that. We'll bird dog that as well. Well, that will be coming up soon. Well, we'll have a new Superior Court judge. This new Superior Court judge will serve until the 2020 election, the filing of which is in December.
Uh-huh.
There will be a primary. You would assume, Henderson County being Henderson County, that if there's a challenge or a close race, it's likely to be in the now March, not May, March 2020 primary. So this will be in the news now fairly consistently politically, if there is, especially if there is a contested race next year. This will be in the news for a while. The Henderson County Clerk of Superior Court.
All right. Interesting. And just as the lightning will, you will continue to bird dog that story as well. Kids from here, you know, it's Hendersonville, Henderson County. We've talked about this, Bill. Never a lack of news. Always a very interesting place. Very interesting people. But one of the things that's fun to talk about are the kids who grew up here and what they go on to do. And we've got a number of them in the Lightning this week for some of the things they've done. So let's talk about kids from here,
Bill. Yeah, it is. Sometimes it's amazing things they do while they're still here in high school, whether it's athletically or arts-wise or academically, like such as mock trial or volleyball championships, track or whatever. And sometimes it's what they do immediately when they get into college, which is a couple. We have both cases here, and then we have a third case that we also see a lot of, that somebody goes on, they're in a career 5 years, 10 years, 20, maybe 50 years down the road, and we say, like, that person is from Henderson County and a graduate of Hendersonville. I'll do one more aside on that, not even in this stack, is Peter. We mentioned Peter Hans in a different story about Commissioner Lapsey being appointed to a road transportation study committee. Another member of that is Peter Hans, who is now he's a graduate of Hendersonville High School, 82 maybe it is, and is now president of the North Carolina Community College System. So it's that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
We could have actually added to this stack as well, but it's not a current award. This we started out with in the print issue, David Rode, it's like Rhode Island, R-H-O-D-E, Hendersonville High School class of 2016 was just elected 2 weeks ago as president of Western Carolina University. So we got
people
might recall, if they attended any of the meetings where the school board and the Board of County Commissioners discussed the famous Hendersonville High School renovation versus new construction plan and saving the Stillwell building. David was a passionate and consistent voice throughout that process, both as a student, because it lasted from his time as a student through his time as a graduate of Hendersonville High School, a consistent voice saying, hey, let's save the Stillwell building. It's really important and we ought to do it. And in the end, that did happen. And David Rode has been interested in politics and involved in politics since he was 13 or 14 years old. He was a student of Jerry Smith and got appointed to the Environmental Sustainability Board, which is an advisory board in the city of Hendersonville, because Jerry Smith is also Councilman Smith on the Hendersonville City Council.
Yeah.
He was appointed one of two youth ambassadors from Henderson County, and he went to Raleigh, I guess it is, to the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners. And we have in this little profile of him, he was selected, I guess, by his fellow delegates to speak to all the delegates, some 200 of them. So he told us about that. And it's kind of a fun story. David's always fun to talk to.
Yeah.
And people can read it. I'm going to let people read to the end of the story and figure out why they may continue to hear the name David Rode and to hear from David Rode in Henderson County politics and civic affairs.
It is really no surprise to see that story.
It is zero surprise. But he worked hard in the campaign. Yeah,
absolutely.
There were three other kids that ran from Western Carolina. He really had a platform talking about, look, our growth is really growing. Our campus is really growing. Are we keeping up? Is the dining services? Is the other amenities? Our classroom size? Things like that. He tapped into the kind of the anxiety from the student body about that, and he won. I think he said in around 80 or so votes. I'm not sure how many were cast. I believe the campus has 12,500 people, so that would be, if most of them voted, that's a pretty close race.
Yeah.
But also, it was a pretty crowded field.
Well, let's talk about some other kids from here, Bill.
Yes, let's. We got a another headline that says West Henderson High School student elected state president of something called the FCCLA, which is the Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. And that young lady is named Lauren Mullis, and she was elected in a recent meeting, statewide leadership conference of the FCCLA in Greensboro. And Lauren will go on, along with another statewide winner, to the National Leadership Conference in June in Anaheim, California, home of Disney World, Disneyland. So how fun is that? So along with Lauren, Abby Moore, she won a gold medal for one of the projects that the West kids submitted, and I think she will also be representing West at the Nationals. Other winners were Destiny Queen, Olivia Moore, Joy Wilson, and Jessica Rubino. So look for that. Another example of local kids, and that kids from here, or in the Kids from Here series, we also have Coach Whitmire and Jimmy Whitmire's son, John Whitmire, Professor Whitmire, an associate professor of philosophy at, again, Western Carolina University, and a graduate of East Hendersonville High School, has won the top award. Really, this is the top teaching award that the university gives each year, and there's a nice profile in this profile was by the Western Carolina University News Service, and it's on HendersonvilleLightning.com, all about Coach Whitmire, what students think so highly of him, and how successful he's been on the campus. The Board of Governors awards the Board of Governors Award for Excellence in Teaching, and it will be presented on Saturday, May 11, and Professor Whitmire, along with the best, these teachers that are going to be honored, there's one from every, I think it's 16 UNC campuses, and he's the one from Western Carolina. So congratulations to Professor Whitmire. Congratulations to Coach Whitmire and Jimmy for the great accomplishment of Professor Whitmire.
Right, absolutely. And congratulations to all of those kids from here that are taking their influences from Henderson County and reaching out and making the world a better place.
Yeah, and if you hear about these things that the Lightning, we tend to laser focus on them. We find them. They find us when they do happen. But if you hear about them, let us know, and we'll add that to the regular Kids from Here series.
And here's a great thing to go see kids from here. Hendersonville High School's senior class play is coming up. Newsies, right?
Newsies is on
great
the
show.
Docket. Newsies
great
is on
show.
The docket for the great almost 75 year tradition of the senior play that this there at Hendersonville High School. Now, we no longer need to say, as we said a year or two ago, we said it looked like it was going to be one of the last performances in the historic auditorium, in the historic Stillwell part of the campus. Well, that's no longer the case. In fact, with the renovation plan, they have figured out a way, they say, to I'm not going to let's see, the years might be 2021 and 22, but they like to start on the auditorium work like the day after the senior play closes,
right.
And to finish in time, and
for the next.
To finish like you know, 11 months and 28 days later, so they can open the senior play in the auditorium the
wow.
next year, and that renovation of all the things that the public will see, that renovation of the historic auditorium is going to be sensational. It is going to convert that into a modern, really good. There's really some neat things about that. That's really been talked about less than some of the other things with new buildings and classroom renovations and so forth. But look for that to be a neat thing in the next, oh gosh, at this point, 4 to 5 years.
Just yeah.
do that, transport yourself ahead
yeah.
to 5 year to 2024 or 2023 when you're sitting in that new auditorium. There'll be something, it's Newsies this time, based on the real life newsboy strike of 1899. And we've got, they sent us a cool looking black and white picture of four or five of the boys that are going to be in the show.
Have you ever seen the show, Bill?
Have not seen.
You
Newsies.
Need to
no,
see
sure.
it. You're a newsie.
I am a newsie.
You need to see that show. It's a great show. And then of course the Hendersonville High School. This is just one of the real traditions. You know, Hendersonville High School is steeped in tradition, and this is one of those traditions. The senior class play, where everyone in the senior class is welcome to join in and
yep.
And take part in it.
You can mark on your calendar. You don't need to go right this minute because tickets do go on sale Monday, April 22nd. They're $10 for general admission. $12 reserve, and can be purchased during school hours at the main office of Hendersonville High School, which of course is 1 Bearcat Boulevard, or there's a phone number you can call and look at that when you get this week's print issue of the Lightning.
And keep it tuned to the queue. We've already got scheduled some of the kids from the from that show going to be here in the coming weeks to talk about it.
That'll be great.
It's going to be great fun. Bill, we've really just touched on the plethora of news that is this week's Hendersonville Lightning, and folks need to pick up their own copy so that they can get in the know and know exactly what's happening in our community. How can they get their copy of the Lightning?
Yep, we did leave a lot on the cutting room floor today because so much news in the print issue and on HendersonvilleLightning.com. But you can get that print issue by going to any of our 60 Lightning Orange racks all around Henderson County or going to dealer partner, such as a convenience store or a coffee shop or Publix supermarket, or you can go to the aforementioned HendersonvilleLightning.com and click on that red tab, which says, appropriately enough, subscribe to join the growing legions of Hendersonville Lightning friends that get their Lightning today. Lightning Thursday, or call Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.